In Romans 12, Paul talks about some of the God-given gifts that we share together here in the body of Christ. And in that passage, he notes seven gifts. And here is what he said, Romans 12, beginning in verse 6. Count them as I read them out loud. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, here's the first one. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is in contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do so cheerfully. Now here is a simplified way to describe those seven gifts. There was a dinner party, and the hostess brought out a lovely tray of desserts, but promptly tripped and slipped, and all the desserts ended up splat on the floor. There were seven guests at the dinner party, each who had a different gift. And this is how they reacted. The prophet said, that's what happens when you're not careful. The servant said, oh, let me help you clean that up. The teacher said, the reason that fell is because it was too heavy on one side. The encourager said, oh, that was such a beautiful dessert and you worked so hard on it. The giver said, I'll be happy to buy a new dessert. And the mercy giver said, don't feel badly. That could happen to anybody. The leader stood up and said, Jim, would you get a mop? Sue, would you please help me pick it up? And Mary, would you please fix another dessert? That is the focus of a leader. Last week we talked about showing mercy. This week we're going to talk about the gift of leading. If the gift is leading, then do so diligently. Now, in most churches, people assume that the pastor has the gift of leading. In many churches, the pastor assumes that he is the only one who has the gift of leading. I heard about a church where a new pastor came on the staff. And some men were talking about him, and they said, I really like that guy. He is really wonderful. Well, why do you like him? Well, he impressed me because he took charge right from the very beginning, immediately showing the congregation that he was in control. Well, how did he do that? They said, he changed all the locks on the doors. That pastor was communicating that he had the keys, and they did not. And if they wanted to get to anything in their church, they had to go through him. That is not the kind of pastor who is going to build a body of a healthy church. Is that the kind of pastor you want here in Covenant Fellowship? If so, then I'm not your guy. But here's something else for us to chew on. I am not the only pastor in this congregation. The room is full of pastors. We're all pastors. We are all ministers of the gospel. You may have given me the title. You may even pay me to do some of the services here. But everyone here is a minister in this church. We share the privilege of bodybuilding. And so no one is in control of all the keys. Here's something else to chew on. Pastoring and leading are often separate roles. All of you are called to minister, but not all of you are called to lead. All of you are called to minister, but not all of you are gifted at being a leader. God designed the body to be led by one man, the Lord Jesus Christ. the Lord Jesus Christ, not me. However, God did not design the body to be cared for by just one man. He designed the body to care for itself. Every man, every woman, all of us are servants in the body of Christ. We are ministers in the body of Christ. Thank God that I do not have all the weight on my shoulders to lead and shepherd this congregation. If I did, you would be in real trouble, folks. You would be. Now, do you remember the story of the Exodus? In that story, how the people began to complain about everything, and it was driving Moses nuts. So, what did Moses do? He complained too. He complained to God in Numbers 11:11. He said, "Lord, why have you brought me this trouble on all your servant? What have I done to displease you that you put the burden of all these people on me?" Some scholars estimate that Moses was dealing with between 2 and 3 million people. "I am only dealing with a very small flock of sheep here, but I have to admit that sometimes I have to say, oy vey, God, what have I done to displease you that I have to put up with all of these sheep right here?" And that's when God said to Moses that he did not have to bear the burden alone. You know that story. God told Moses, "Select some leaders. Select some leaders among you who will help you." And that is body building by team. Last week, in Bodybuilding 1, we focused on mercy. And that gift is very closely related to your role as a minister in this congregation. This week we're talking about leading in the sense of governing. Not only governing, but governing diligently. Remember Romans 12, if the gift is leadership, then lead diligently. We're going to come back to the word diligently. For now, let me ask you, who are your leaders in this fellowship? Who are they? Who are the folks in here who govern this body of believers? Do they govern well? The Greek word Paul used for leading here is a simple word. It simply and literally means to stand out front. And if we think about it, that's probably where a good leader ought to be, standing out in the front. But not holding all the keys and being in control of everything. Jesus had something to say about that in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verse 42. Jesus said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant." Whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. My guess is that every member of your board of trustees of this church can join with me right now in asking ourselves, how are we doing at being servants, at being godly leaders? Are we standing out front? Christian leadership is more about serving than it is about governing. But remember that there are different gifts in the body. Some are gifted at caring. Some are not. Some are more gifted at administration. Some are not. But all your leaders are given the responsibility of making decisions for this church body to help us move forward through this life as smoothly as we can and in a godly manner. Somebody published a list that describes the qualities of a good leader. Here are some of them. A good leader is decisive. A good leader is able to visualize the final results. A good leader develops loyalty among the people around them. A good leader is able to delegate, is alert to details, completes the tasks set before him or her. A good leader involves other people, and a good leader has godly motives in whatever they're doing. Now, in that same publication, they published a list of the qualities of a bad leader. And this is what they said. A bad leader views people as merely resources. A bad leader is manipulative, shows favoritism, delegates but in order to avoid responsibility, fails to communicate or to offer praise to people. A bad leader blames others for their own failures. A bad leader also becomes self-righteous. When I read those two lists, and I measured myself by those two lists, I saw myself in both of them. I felt affirmed, and I felt embarrassed. And you know what? Every leader in our church could say the same thing. Bodybuilding is not easy, folks. It's not easy. Sometimes we excel at it, and sometimes we stink. When well-meaning leaders make decisions for a church body, people who have a variety of gifts in the church body view those decisions in a variety of ways. Now, out of that should come wisdom, like God gave to Solomon. It should come unity in the body, but sadly, sometimes the opposite is true. We need to honor our leaders because God put them there, including in the United States of America. Oy vey, God, what are you doing? But anyway, and that is the same way it should be in a Christian marriage. Men, honor the gifts that God has given to your wives. Listen to them because God speaks to you through your wives. Women, in the same way, honor the gifts that God has given to your husband and listen for God's leadership coming through your husbands. And husbands and wives, do not humiliate one another in public, pointing out gifts that your spouse does not have, or pointing out their failures in exercising the gifts that they do have. Don't humiliate one another. Now, men, let me ask you this question. Men, how do you get your wife to agree with you when you lead? Women, how do you get your husband to submit to you when you lead? Church, how do you get your leaders to make excellent decisions? Here is the best answer in all of those circumstances. It's from God's word. It's in Proverbs. Go over their heads. That's Proverbs 21:1. What a good one to memorize. Here's what it says. The king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. The Lord turns it wherever he will. The king in that proverb could be anybody. It could be the husband, the wife, the pastor, the board of trustees, remember, any leader, whosoever. It could be anyone, the king. Go over his or her head. You husbands cannot control the hearts of your wives. God can. You wives cannot control the hearts of your husbands. God can. None of you can control the heart of this pastor or your other leaders. God can. So don't try. Go over their heads. Go to the commander in chief and ask God to turn their hearts wherever he wants them to go. A Christian husband or a wife, a true pastor, a true leader in the body of Christ, should always want to hear from God. When we do, we will succeed in building a body of healthy believers, mature Christians. Now, I said I would come back to the word diligently. If the gift is leadership, then govern diligently. When I hear that word, the first thought that comes to my mind is a hard-working, industrious style of leader. The image that I have in my mind is someone who doesn't waste any time but gets the job done, lickety-split. And that may be partially true, but the Greek word also means carefully and earnestly. Let him govern carefully. Let him govern earnestly. The image that immediately comes to my mind is that of a watchmaker. Have you ever watched a watchmaker? It's careful, careful, earnest, diligent work. I also think of a gifted surgeon. Oral Roberts tells a story about a gifted surgeon who had an accident during a surgery. He accidentally cut an artery and the blood started flowing. And the assistant said, "Oh, sir, are we going to have time to stop the bleeding? How long will it take?" The surgeon said, "About 45 seconds, and yes, we will have the time if we do not hurry." Careful, careful, careful. Leading diligently may sometimes mean lighting a fire under people. But leading diligently may also mean taking care and taking time to do the job right. There was a young woman who wanted to go to college, and she had a particular college in mind. And she was filling out the application for the college, and her heart sank when she came across one particular question in the college application, and it was this: "Are you a leader?" She had never really felt comfortable in the role of leader. And so, being the very honest person that she was, she said no. She mailed the application, and she immediately started looking for another college. But a few months later, a letter arrived from that college, and here is what the letter said: "Dear applicant, a study of our application forms reveals that this year our college will have 1,452 new leaders. We are accepting you because we feel it is imperative that they have at least one follower. Congratulations." In the body of Christ, we cannot all be leaders. We are not all gifted at being leaders. We are not all equipped at being leaders. But there can be no leaders if there are no followers. In fact, bodybuilding in the Church of Jesus Christ is more the responsibility of the followers than it is the leaders. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." That's another good memory verse, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 11:1. "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." And what was the clarion call of Jesus Christ that RB read about today? "Come, follow me. Follow me. Follow me. And I will make you fishers of men." The highest calling is not to be a leader. It's to be a faithful follower. Are you with me? Do you get it? Bodybuilding takes leaders and followers, all of whom walk behind the great shepherd. He is the only one who is worthy to be out front. He is the only one who is worthy to hold all the keys. So I say to all of you followers out there, turn your eyes upon Jesus. And I say to all you leaders out there, lead on. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, as we come to this time in our calendar year, we remember our former leaders, our present leaders, and we pray for our present leaders. And we ask, O Lord, that you take their hearts in your hands. And as followers, Lord, may we be faithful. faithful followers with Jesus Christ leading the way. And Lord, as you said, come, follow me, you said, come to my table of remembrance and forgiveness and follow me in this example. And we are now preparing our hearts and spirits to do just that. So lead us, Lord. In your perfect righteousness, lead us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.